So let us turn to Matthew. Matthew chapter 23. We're talking last week about the blood, the life in the blood, and I thought we would there was more to say about the blood. So let's see what Jesus had to say in the 23rd chapter of Matthew. And this is the chapter where he is just before his crucifixion, and he's coming very strongly against the scribes and the Pharisees. We might as well say the religious leaders of his day. And not sure where we should start here. Everything is so good here. I hate to leave any of it out, but I'm not going to read the whole chapter. Maybe start at verse 24. We'll just read a little bit here. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Let's move down to verse 30, okay? And say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. So we're talking about the shed blood of the innocent ones today. Amen. Wherefore, ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children. Amen. Ye are the children. Verse 31, you are the sons, is what he actually said. Not just the innocent children, but the mature sons of them which killed the prophets. In other words, he's saying, you are partakers. You are partakers of that innocent blood, and whatever judgment is coming, you will partake of that as well. Let's move on. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. He's talking about a cup of iniquity that is being filled as he speaks. Amen. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? I mean, this is God speaking. This is the word of Father God speaking through Jesus to people. Amen. Wherefore, behold, I send you prophets and wise men and scribes. Amen. Prophets, wise men, and scribes. Brethren, that should define us. We should fit in there somewhere. Wise men, scribes. A scribe is a writer. Amen. Wise men, scribes, prophets. Some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them ye shall scourge. That's beat. Beat them in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city. Now listen, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth from the blood of righteous Abel. Now, Genesis, I don't think used the term righteous Abel, but it did say that his sacrifice was acceptable to God. Now, Jesus Christ, speaking of Abel, says that Abel was a righteous man. So the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias. Now, wasn't this Zacharias the prophet? Amen. The son of Zacharias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. In other words, he was slain in the outer court. Abel to Zacharias. Now, I don't know whether it was intended to be this way, but from A to Z, the martyrs, from A to Z. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. What year did Jesus say that? It would be 33 AD, right? He started his ministry in the year 30, and it was in the spring. He started in the fall, and it was in the spring, amen, that he came to his crucifixion at the time of the Passover. So from A to Z, the innocent blood, the innocent martyrs up until his time was going to come upon this generation. Now, he was very specific. This generation, not the next generation, but this generation. And so from 33 BC to 70 AD, what happened in 70 AD? The Lord sent the Romans in, Titus, the general. And if you read the story, the total war against Jerusalem and against the temple, it actually lasted for 3.5 years. I find that very interesting that it was a 3.5 year period of time. I don't know if any of you have ever done this. I keep telling you to do it sometime. Go on Google, or if you have the book of the famous historian, what was his name? Oh, I can't remember his name. I've got his book.
Is it Josephus?
Josephus.
What is it?
Josephus.
Yeah, Josephus. Yeah.
Josephus. Yeah.
Yeah. Go on, but that'll be hard to get that book. Go on Google and bring up the destruction of Jerusalem. It's quite a long story, but read it all if you can stand to read it. It is a terrible, terrible bloodbath that came upon that generation. And you know what made it worse is that the Jews, the religious leaders, the scribes, the Pharisees, they wouldn't give up. They wouldn't give up. They knew they were being annihilated, and yet they held right on and continued to fight the Romans. And it was a bloodbath, bodies laying all over the place. And this is what Jesus said was going to, he was prophesying to them from Abel to Zacharias. The innocent blood, what? The life is in the blood. Did the life go out of the blood of Abel because he died? Did the blood go out of Zacharias because he was martyred? No, that blood is still there, crying for vengeance, crying for retribution. Amen? Now, there was a certain measure of that given to that generation. But it isn't over. It isn't finished yet. Now let me go on. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. God is saying to that generation, I offer you something different. I offer you peace. I offer you everything that has ever been promised to Abraham, that you can come into that in the kingdom of God, and you can have it right here in Jerusalem. As a hen gathers her chicks. Have any of you ever seen that? Have any of you ever had hens? Nancy, you had hens too?
I take that back. I mean, yes, we at the farm, we raise chickens. Yes.
Did you allow any of the hens to hatch their own eggs?
Yes.
Do you know they practically bred that out of chickens today?
Oh no.
They've almost taken that what do you call it? That's bred into them.
Broodiness.
Yeah. Anyway, way back in the 80s, we finally got a hen to set and hatch her own eggs. And they would wander around the yard. We had a real big yard. And you know, the funny thing is, every now and then a big hawk would come over way up in the sky, and somehow this hen knew the hawk was there. And she would run up to the barn and get up against the side and put her wings out, and she would call her little chicks. And they would all run underneath her, and they would hide under the mother. Now, the hawk, the chicken was too big for the hawk, so he wouldn't bother with her. But he'd like a little snack with that little one. But you know, she would lay her life down. She would give her own life to protect those little ones. And this is what Jesus was saying. He was saying, look, I give my own life. I do anything to keep you. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, my people. But you're not going to do it. You're gonna kill me. You're gonna try to add me to the martyrs. Listen, but ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Well, what's he mean by that? Your house. What is their house? Their house was the practice of Judaism. It was the old order. It was the order before Christ. Now, God had ordained that order until it was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. But he is saying to them, your house is left unto you desolate. No more. No more will the presence of God, no more will the presence of the Spirit of God give any more life to your house. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. He's saying he's coming again. Amen. All right, so we're talking about the blood from Abel to Zechariah. We're talking about martyrs' blood. Do you know that there's martyrdom going on yet in the world today? I don't know where I looked this up, but again, it was quite recently. It might have been within the last 2 weeks. And I found out, do you know, brother, do you know what country has the greatest martyrdom going on? Right there where some of you live. Nigeria. I think the number was 67% of the martyrs that is going on today is in Nigeria. Christians are still being killed in Nigeria. every now and then they come into a school. They round up a lot of little girls, take them off in captives. Sometimes they're never heard of again. Sometimes one or two gets free and tells what's really going on. Brethren, this has to stop. God has to bring this to an end. But the cup is not yet quite full. Let's go to the book of Hebrews. Before I go there, I brought this book. You've heard me mention Martyr's Mirror before. How many of you remember me talking about it? This is the book, Martyr's Mirror. This book is almost 3 inches thick. It's got over 1,000 pages, and it records in detail, thousands of martyrs. The first part of the book goes way back to the beginning with Christ, and then the next part goes up until the 1600s. And it was written by a Dutch man, Fielman J. van Brocht. And the man put in tremendous research. You know, these cities and towns that martyred these believers, they kept very good records of their murders. And he went into the what do you call it, the town clerk's offices, and copied down the detail, the testimony, the everything that went into the trial, went into the killing of these innocent people. Just today, on Google, before we got on the Zoom, I typed into Zoom and I said, how many Christian martyrs have been recorded in the world? And do you know what it said? 70 million. By the way, how many Jews is Hitler credited with killing? I don't remember the number. Go ahead and unmute Nancy and tell me.
6 million.
6 million. So you see, Hitler didn't get them all. You know who got most of the 70 million? The Roman Catholic Church. Well, now, other religion, Islam, is taking their share of them. Officially, the Roman Catholic Church can't get away with it anymore. In fact, it came somewhere in the late 1600s, the last official martyr. They couldn't get away with it anymore. They were becoming, shall we say, a civilized community. But these were all ordered by the popes, and the popes were giving the orders to the emperors and the kings. And each of these, especially places like Netherlands, France, Spain, Italy, particularly brutal. They were with the martyrs. Martyrs' blood we're talking about today. Now let's go to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. See if we can find the book of Hebrews here. And maybe start in. Oh, let's go back to start in verse 18, okay? Yeah, we'll start in verse 18. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest. Now we're talking about the old order, okay, under Moses. When Moses went up on the mountain and it was black and fire, and the Lord was giving him the word, okay? And the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. God gave the people the opportunity to hear directly from him. And they said, oh, no, 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 no. It's a terrible word. We can't stand that word. Moses, you tell us whatever he has to say, and we'll believe you. So the people could not endure the straight word from the Lord, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. Well, I don't blame him. I probably would too. Amen. But, all right, but ye are come unto the new, I'm adding the word new here, the Mount Zion. You are coming to the new order, the new Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God. Amen. The city of the living God. Amen. The heavenly Jerusalem to an innumerable company of angels. Now, is this a natural city? Is this a natural city that you can find on a map somewhere? I don't mind if you tell me where you can find it on the map. No, it's not. Amen. Now, listen to this Mount Zion now. Here's what makes up Mount Zion. Okay, first of all, it's the heavenly Jerusalem. Secondly, it's an innumerable, that means you can't number them, company of angels. You know, I actually wonder how many angels are there out there? Does God have millions and millions of angels? Does he need all that many angels? Well, anyway, it says an innumerable company. That means can't be numbered. Okay? We're making, this is Mount Zion now, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. Who are these people? That's us, isn't it? You know, we could start a church and we're going to give it the name, General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn. Well, that wouldn't mean it was just us. It would include the house of God. So it's the church which are written in heaven. How are they written in heaven? They're in the book. Amen? They're in the book. To God, the judge, all right, God the judge is in this company of all and to the spirits of just men made perfect. So it includes those who have gone on before us, the spirits of just men made perfect, perfected, amen? All right, we're not finished. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. How do you get into the new covenant? There's only one way, and that's through Jesus, the mediator. You don't get in through Mary. You don't get in through praying to the saints. You don't get in by calling on angels. You don't get in any other way except through the mediator, Jesus Christ, and to the blood of sprinkling. Blood? Blood, who's that? I mean, all these other people are beings. And now he adds the blood is a member of this Mount Zion. The blood. Why? The blood is full of life. It's the life of the blood. Amen. The blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. All right, what does the blood of Abel speak? What did God say to Cain back there in the book of Genesis? He said, the blood of your brother is crying to me from the ground. What was that blood crying to God? What was it? Now Abel was dead, but his blood wasn't dead. His spirit wasn't dead. His soul wasn't dead. His soul was crying out to God and saying, God, I got cheated. I mean, I'm just a young man. I mean, I was just doing the right thing, and look what my brother did to me. God, I want to get, you know, can't we restore something to me? So his blood was crying out. But it says this blood is speaking something better than that of Abel. Well, what is this blood speaking? And where did this blood come from? So this is the blood of Jesus, and it is speaking something better. Well, what better? All right, come on, help me out here. What is this blood saying?
The blood of Abel was crying for vengeance or justice. But the blood of Jesus is crying out. Well, the blood of Jesus symbolizes redemption or forgiveness, mercy.
Amen. Anybody else got something to add to that? Yes, the blood of Jesus says, come, you can be cleansed, you can be forgiven. Your past can be wiped out clean and given a new slate. Yes, by my blood, you can have your name in the book. Hallelujah. So, speaketh better things than that of Abel. Let's go to Exodus 24. We're talking about the blood of sprinkling. The book of Exodus here, we might as well get that in perspective here. Exodus 24, we're talking about the old covenant now. We just want to make a comparison. And let's read the first 8 verses here. And he said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. So he's opening the door here for the eldership, the leadership of all the house of Israel. Amen. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come near, neither shall the people go up with him. So he's going up. Amen. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments. And all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord has said, we will do. What are they doing here? They're making a covenant with God. The whole crowd said, yes, we will do it. They all agreed. You know, I've been in court all week this week. I got pulled into jury duty. And we have to sit there for long hours and listen to long testimonies and long this and long that. But every witness that comes in, I notice they have a big Bible right up there by the judge's bench. And there's a woman deputy. Every witness that comes, she says, put your right hand on the Bible. She says, raise your other hand. No, your left hand, I guess. Raise your right hand. And do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So basically, they're making some kind of a covenant that whatever they say is going to be the absolute truth. I found that real interesting. And I was tempted, but I won't do it. I was wondering, what kind of a Bible is that? It has a big leather binding on it. I hope it's a good King James Bible that they've got up there. Amen. A good, true Bible. Anyway, so it made me think of that. All the words which the Lord has said we will do. So they're making they're basically they're swearing in, but they're not taking they're taking a good oath here. Amen. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and built an altar under the hill and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. What is he doing now? They're taking blood sacrifice. All right, they made a covenant and they're going to seal that covenant. And Moses took half the blood and put it in basins. So they're collecting the blood. And half the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people. And they said, all that the Lord has said, we will do and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people. Can you see? Just sprinkling it toward the people. I don't know that every person got caught, but he sprinkled it toward the people and said, behold the blood of the covenant which the Lord had made with you concerning all these words. So the covenant was made in blood. All right. There's an understanding that has been carried on for years and years of the blood covenant. Where did I? Oh, I'm trying to remember. Was it Livingston? When he went into Africa, he made a covenant with some of the, am I right here? Tell me if I'm wrong. He made a covenant and they actually took blood. Was it Livingston? Anyway, they put the blood together with their hand and they said, now we have a blood covenant. In other words, we are spiritually of one blood. We're one. In Christ. Amen. Ancient tradition here of covenant of the blood. Let's go to John chapter 6. We go back, we'll go back, oh my goodness, it's a long chapter, but let's go back and start in about 51. Well, 50, okay. This is the bread that cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. So we have that promise. We have a covenant, shall we say. With Jesus, he is the bread. If we eat that bread, we will not die. I am the living bread. See, they've been talking about the manna that they had in the days of Moses. I am the living bread, which came down from heaven. If any man will eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh. I mean, it's me. Amen. Which I will give for the life of the world. My goodness, the life of the whole world. He's giving it life. The Jews, therefore, strove. When it says the Jews, we're talking about the rebellious religious leaders of his day. Oh, come on. All the disciples were Jews, too. But this term means those that were against them. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So in other words, their thinking was carnal. Is our thinking spiritual, brethren, when we read the word of God? Well, we can't do these things in the carnal realm. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat my flesh, amen, eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. No life, amen. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So the eternal life, doesn't it just include that our soul will go to a spiritual realm called heaven? But this covenant of eternal life also says that we're going to get a bodily resurrection at the last, because we have living blood of Jesus Christ in us. Amen. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. All right, we're in Christ, that's one thing, and Christ in us. So Christ in us, we're still in the outer court. Me in Christ, we've come into the holy place, and I don't do anything and I don't go anywhere except Christ. As the living Father have sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, shall live by me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. All right, those people out in the Sinai desert, their bodies are still out there somewhere. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Well, how did that all go over that day? How did they like that word? Amen. Many, therefore, of his disciples. My goodness, is that still happening in our day? Many, therefore, of his disciples. I mean, that sounds pretty discouraging, doesn't it? Many? Okay, a few. No, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Oh, come on. Where is he going with this? He's getting off in the deep end now. He's talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. What are we all become? A bunch of cannibals? Come on. The Word of God says you're not to eat human flesh. But they didn't get it spiritually. Now, when Jesus knew in himself that the disciples murmured, he said unto them, Does this offend you? So he's asking Peter and James and John, Andrew, Philip, are you offended at this too? Is this real hard for you? Come on, guys, where are you? Are you beginning to get it? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? What are you going to do when you see me going up? It is the Spirit. See, in other words, it's not natural talking I'm doing. It is the spiritual talking. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. Your carnal understanding isn't going to get you anywhere. You're not going to get it that way. Amen? The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Sister came up to me one time long ago, and by the way, I wasn't real good at preaching in those days. I'm talking about way back when I began. I began to say that there were spiritual things in the Word. She came up to me afterwards, put her fist on the podium, and said, Brother Mark, why are you always spiritualizing things? I said, "Sister, haven't you read the New Testament? Jesus was always spiritualizing everything to his disciples. He was never satisfied to let the description be on the natural. The parable of the sower, he wasn't giving a lesson in agriculture, Ag 101. No, he wanted to open their eyes that they could see spiritual things. Where was it? One of the last verses in, what is it, Luke? It says, "Then opened he their eyes." Then opened he their eyes that they could see. Amen. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the very beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. Think about this. He knew it all along. All along. 3.5 years from the time he chose Judas, he knew he was going to be the one to do it. Was he mean to Judas or treated him differently than any of the others? No, he included him. He sat at the table with him. You know, he gave him the sop. He gave him the drink. I mean, come on. All along, Judas, you're going to do something. Go ahead and get it over with. Go ahead. Get it started. He knew. Amen. And he said, "Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him by the Father." You can't come unto him by more good works than bad works, like the Muslim man believes. And you know what? There's a lot, you don't have to be Muslim. There's many, many Christians that believe that too. "Well, I'm going to have a lot of good works. You know, I'm going to start a soup kitchen and I'm going to feed the hungry." And okay, these are good things, but they're not going to get you into the kingdom of God. That from that time, many of disciples went back. What's that word "back" mean? That they went away and walked no more with him. Well, I wonder if they came back again after the resurrection. I can't help but wonder. It doesn't say. It just says they left him. What a time to leave him, just before his crucifixion. Let's go on. "Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Well, Peter didn't understand everything yet, but you know what? He knew enough that he wasn't going to go anywhere else. He was beginning to get it. "You've got the words, Lord. I haven't figured it all out yet. But what I have figured out, there's no other place to go. There's no other church. Come on, have you ever thought, well, maybe I should go somewhere else. Maybe there's a better church out there somewhere, you know?" And by the way, you know, the business in the churches, it's nice. They're good people. They have good programs. But are you really getting the word of life that you need? Are you really getting the preparation to be sons of God? Are you really getting what you need to be sealed? God is waiting in the final days of the sealing of the sons of God. And in Revelation chapter 7, as soon as that is done, the four angels holding back the four corners, they're holding back. Hell is going to break loose when they let it go. And all these wars that we're seeing, it's chafing. It's chafing to be let loose. Little rocket man in North Korea, he can't wait to let loose some of his rockets. You know who I'm talking about. That's what Trump calls him, little rocket man. Putin has more ambition than just Ukraine. Oh, come now, brethren. God is holding it back until we are sealed. Let it happen, brethren. Let it happen. Don't hold back. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now we're sure of that. Amen. That's the first time Peter said that. Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Well, let's look at that. Let's look at Revelation chapter 6. This is the fifth seal. Amen. And we'll start the fifth seal in verse 9. We're talking about the blood of the innocents that is shed, the martyrs. Amen. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Now, what altar would that be? That would be the golden altar. All right, we're in the tabernacle now. This is the blood of the martyrs now, not just Abel to Zechariah, but Jesus, all the way up to the year 2025, in the day and hour in which we're living right now. Martyrs that may have been killed this past week, somewhere out there in northern Nigeria, somewhere. Amen. Come on, it's happening. And they cried with a loud voice. They're not quiet about this. This life in the blood is crying loudly. Amen. How long, O Lord? Come on, I'm crying, how long, O Lord? And I'm not even a martyr. I'm crying, how long, O Lord, are you going to let this rotten world go? I mean, killing, 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 killing. People with no restraint at all. Mothers, fathers killing their little babies. My goodness, natural affection all gone. Hell coming in. Devil coming into the lives and souls of people. How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell upon the earth? Avenge our blood. You see, they're still crying. Life was taken from them before their time, before their time. And they're saying, Lord, I got cheated. I got cheated. Not only did I get cheated, but it was the devil that did it. God, he needs to be brought to judgment. Him and all those who are following him. They took my life. How long, O Lord? You know what? This didn't just happen once. It's happening now. It's going on. And white robes were given. What was the thing about white robes? Why a white robe? What does it mean? Purity. These people are now qualified as part of the bride of Jesus Christ. They're pure. They're going to be part of the bride. Amen. White robes were given unto every one of them. Everyone, lots of white robes out there. Amen. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. In other words, that wasn't the end. You see, it's still going on. It's going to come on up until the end. So, you folks, just here's your white robe. It's coming. It's going to take place. And your blood will be avenged. I was talking about Revelation 7, about the angels holding back. You've heard it from me so many times, but here it is, chapter 7. Let me just read a couple verses, because this verse is ever in my mind. When I hear the things, when I hear these wars, when I hear this terrible slaughter of human beings going on in the earth, this verse keeps coming to me. After these things, that's after the sixth seal, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth. Now, you know the earth isn't square, but it speaks of the spiritual four corners, northeast, southwest, whatever, the whole thing, holding the four winds of the earth, holding it back. Do you know what these winds of the earth are? Some of them blow around. Do you know what one of these winds are? Transgender, LGBTQ. This wind was not blowing when I was a kid. Never would have thought of such a stupid thing. Now people in high offices are supporting this kind of thing. It's a wind, one of those ill winds blowing across the whole earth. Winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east. This angel ascending from the east is the gospel that we are preaching right today. Amen. It's being preached in many, many places by those that believe the message of the kingdom. This is a messenger, an angel, a messenger ascending, coming up from the carnal up into the spiritual, having the seal of the living God. What is it? It's not an angel. It's the word, the message. The word is the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth. In other words, don't let it go yet, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Oh God, let us receive that seal in our foreheads. Amen. They wanted to be avenged. They wanted to be vindicated. Well, let's turn the last into Revelation 17. We're still talking about the blood, and we've got a little more to say about it. The great harlot. I told you. Amen. This book, The Blood of the Great Harlot. It isn't all. He didn't get them all. He just gets some of the Anabaptists from Western Europe. Those are the ones that were included there. This great harlot. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show you the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, many waters, great sea of humanity, the sea of humanity, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. The kings are in bed with the harlot. These kings were killing the Christians because the Pope was telling them to do it. Amen. All these pictures this past week about the new Pope. Oh, new guy, American man. Oh, what kind of a guy is he going to? Come on, he's the same kind of a guy that they've always been there. They have never really repented of the blood that is on their hand. They have not. If they could get away with it, they'd do it again yet. Temporarily, they're stopped. But you know what? I think they're going to be able to get away with it again. Something's going to happen. Drunk with the wine of her fornication. What does drunk mean? What happens when a person is drunk?
Error in vision and stumble in judgment.
Yeah, what happens to their mind, Mike?
Gets messed up.
They have no restraint. They have not, the things that ordinarily hold them back in their conscience is loosed.
They're under the power of what you think of.
Yeah. So this
I'm
is
saying spirit. That when, hello, Brother Mark.
Go ahead.
I'm saying that when a man is drunk, he is under the power of what made him drunk.
So he comes under the power of a spirit.
Yes.
So why do people go to bars? They're looking to come under the influence of a spirit. And the devil promises them pleasure. But he doesn't deliver very well in the end, does he? All right, let me go on. So he carried me away in the spirit. Now, John is in the spirit. These are spiritual things he's saying now. Unto the wilderness. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of the names of blasphemy. Now, was it the beast or the woman that was full of the names of blasphemy? It isn't quite clear here. Which one is it, Mike?
Read it again.
He says, I saw a woman sit upon the scarlet-colored beast, comma, full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. So did the beast full of the names of blasphemy or the woman?
Sounds the woman. Like the woman to me.
The woman.
Yeah. I would say the woman. We already know that about the beast. Amen. But the names of blasphemy would be what? All the titles that they give the Pope? Vicar of Christ, that's a name of blasphemy. Father, all these priests are called Father. Jesus said, call no man Father. And if Reverend, his name is Reverend. So these are blasphemy when you put these titles on men. All right, let's go on. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color. Purple and scarlet, what's that a sign of? Royalty? She's claiming to be royal. And decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand. What's in that cup? What's in that cup? Full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. By the way, I just started reading the book, oh my goodness, Two Babylons, for the fifth time. I tell you, I'm going to have to read it many more times. It is a very difficult book to read and memorize. This older English that he's using here, formal English. But I saw the picture from ancient Babylon, the woman sitting there and the cup in her hand. And it is definitely Babylon. It is not Roman Catholic Church. But here in Revelation, it says that this woman has the golden, he's saying it's Babylon, the harlot, amen, in a cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And what's going to happen to that cup when it gets full? Amen. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. So if we really believe this, do we believe this? Come on, if we really believe this verse, it says the abominations of the earth, this is really the root of it. This is really the source. This is really the thing that has taken mankind away from following the creator of the earth and sent mankind in another direction. You can trace this thing way back to the days after the flood, when Shem was still alive, and Nimrod and his father Cush or Baal were getting their kingdom started. This is the root, this is the source, it says, of the abominations of the earth. Now, we'll finish with this verse. And I saw the woman drunken with blood. Remember, this is a spiritual picture now. He's seeing a thing that he can see. He's in the spirit. It's not a natural woman, but it's a spiritual woman. He sees it clearly. She is drunk, but not with alcohol. She's drunk with blood. In other words, she has taken the dominion of so many Christians. And you know, by the way, they think that they're taking that same blood when they take of the Jewish people too. The devil hates either one equally. He hates the Hebrew people equally as much as he hates. I believe that. I fully believe that. Now, not because the Jewish people are following Christ today, but they have a history of giving him a lot of defeat over the years, a lot of bloody noses that he's taken over the years. And he hasn't forgotten it. And it's called, somewhere among the Muslim, something I was reading, the Jews and the Christians are called the people of the book. Am I right, Brother Opie? We are called the people of the book, and we yes. share that with the Jewish people.
Exactly.
And we share Satan's hatred. I mean, we're not praying for the Jewish people because they're terribly righteous right now, but they are the people of the book. Amen. And they are the people that God made that covenant with. We read that covenant back there in the book today. Moses made that covenant. Their ancestors made that covenant. They made that covenant in blood. And God intends to fulfill that covenant. He intends to bring them. I don't know how he's going to do it. We can't do it by bringing a good argument. There's nothing we can do today, it seems, to bring it about. Yes, some of them are coming. We rejoice at those that have they're called Messianic Christians. But I think God intends to do a whole lot more than just that. Harlot is drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs. Now here, saints and martyrs. She's drunk. The martyrs of Jesus. Well, there was martyrs before Jesus, weren't there? And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. By the way, that's not a very good word there. A better word would be, I wondered with amazement. I was amazed at what I saw. Oh, we got a lot more to say about the blood, but let's quit for today, brethren.